morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I have a few announcements to share with you this morning. Firstly, you can thank me for the warm weather. I brought it back from Florida just for you all. No, I'm kidding. I actually have no control over the weather, but I'll take credit for it. If you look in your bulletin, there's a slight change. So after the Apostles' Creed, like we normally do, we're going to do the greeting with everyone, and then we'll go from that into the children's sermon. If we don't have any children, I will ask for volunteers. Don't worry. We'll be fine. Now you all look horrified and won't make eye contact with me. It's okay. The other announcement is Lent is approaching, and we are going to be having an Ash Wednesday service here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock on March 6th. I wanted to let you all know that the service is going to look a little bit different in that we won't be serving communion that night because we'll be serving communion in church next Sunday. That's a lot of communion in a three-day period. So we won't plan to celebrate it on Ash Wednesday, but we will be imposing ashes. So if you want to come that night, it's a really wonderful service. It's a great way to begin Lent, so plan to be here. I also invited the folks from Mount Nebo to come. Hopefully we'll get two or three. Most of them don't like to drive at night, so I can't promise huge numbers, but I think they're excited about it too. All right, any announcements I forgot? All right, let us begin our worship service with a call to worship. Wonderful is the God of Christ, who gathers the poor of the earth. Glorious is our God, who wipes away the tears of sorrow. Wonderful is the God of Christ, who gives inheritance to the meek. Glorious is our God, who satisfies the hunger of the just. Wonderful is the God of Christ, who gives mercy to the merciful. Glorious is our God, who gives vision to the pure in heart. Wonderful is the God of Christ, who adopts the peacemakers. Glorious is our God, who lifts high the persecuted. Wonderful is the God of Christ, who finds the lost. Glorious is our God, who awakens the dead. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 412. join with me for our prayer of confession. Eternal God, our judge and redeemer, we confess that we have tried to hide from you, for we have done wrong. We have lived for ourselves and apart from you. We have turned from our neighbors and refused to bear the burdens of others. We have ignored the pain of the world and passed by the hungry, the poor, and the oppressed. In your great mercy, forgive our sins and free us from selfishness, that we may choose your will and obey your commandments, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Join with me now in our words of assurance. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Alleluia. Amen. Now say together the words of our faith using the words on the screen of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, having been reconciled to God in Christ, let us share signs of that reconciliation with one another by greeting one another in faith.
Punch you. Okay. Great. All right. So, which of these examples?
punches you or slaps you, as he says, you are to kind of turn the other cheek and offer the other side of your cheek right. for them to slap you. And then in the middle of the narrative, Jesus says, if you treat other people the way that they treated you, there's actually nothing really special about that, because even sinners do that. So, like, if you give somebody who's coughing a cough drop, expecting that they're going to stop coughing, you're actually really not doing anything, like, exciting or nice or anything. So, yes. So I'm not saying we should go around punching people. That's not what I'm talking about. The point is that if somebody punches you, the point is more how you respond than the behavior itself. So if somebody punches you, instead of either walking away or punching them back, you are to kind of allow them to punch you again. if somebody offers you something that you need, that's great, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that person went above and beyond the kind of normal call of duty. What Jesus is trying to do in this passage is he's trying to get us to think about relationships in terms of love instead of this word called reciprocity. So reciprocity is, if I punch you, you punch me back. Love is, if I punch you, you let me punch you again, sometimes. That's maybe not a good, never mind, that was not what I
meant. Good thing you have children today.
Because even sinners are nice people. They lend to people when they know that they're going to get their money back. They love somebody who has loved them first. And that's great, but that's not revolutionary. And what I'm calling you to is this revolutionary love where you're loving people that maybe don't love you and maybe never will. And that is what I'm asking of you as my followers. So let's give a hand to our lovely volunteers. Thank you, guys. Thank you. All right, let us pray, and we will continue with worship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in this season of ordinary time, you continue to call and remind us of just what it means to be your disciple. Lord, we pray that as we hear the scripture, as we listen to the sermon, that you would really train our hearts and our minds to grow in your image and likeness. In Jesus' name we pray.
Spirit, there's his own kingdom of morning.
Good morning.
Sandy Salmon is asking for prayers for your daughter-in-law's family, Linda Schindler, for her mother for a good outcome on Monday. She is retaining fluid in her neck. And also for her nephew, who will not eat and wants to give up. He's only 23 years old. Also prayers for his family to be able to cope with all that's going on. And Sandy also has a praise request for Linda Schindler. Praise to our Lord for a good recovery on her hip replacement. She is doing very well. Thank you.
I have one prayer request to add to the list. From the best that I could tell from my mother's kind of frantic phone call this morning, I think my sister had a bad reaction to a Red Bull she drank yesterday. So she's like running a fever and dehydrated, and my mom's not sure if she has the flu or if it was a bad reaction to this Red Bull. I think she's just like sick from coming back from vacation. But either way, my mom asked if we would pray for her today. She doesn't get sick that often, so they're trying to decide if she needs to go to the doctor or not. Her name is Emily, so we will pray for her. At this time, I invite us to rise and sing our hymn of meditation, God, How Can We Forgive? It's number 445. Be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, through your Son, you have called us to repent of our sin, to believe the good news, and to celebrate the coming of your kingdom. Like Christ's apostles, may we hear his call to discipleship. And forsaking old ways, proclaim the gospel of new life to a broken world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you would tend to the sick and bring them healing. We pray for Emily, for Linda's mother, and also for Linda's nephew. Lord, we ask you to strengthen those who are facing particular challenges. Lord, we pray for the family of Linda's mother and nephew. We pray that you would give them the strength that they need to face the challenges ahead. Lord, we also pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Today, Lord, we lift up to you Pope Francis as he deals with allegations coming throughout the country, throughout our country, and throughout the world of clergy sexual misconduct. Lord, we pray that you would be with him and his bishops and archbishops and local lay leaders as they try to enact policies to make sure that this doesn't continue to happen. Lord, we also present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you for the warm weather today, for this little bit of break in the winter weather, for the promises of spring that will eventually be here. Lord, we also give you thanks and praise for Linda's good recovery from her hip replacement surgery. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering. Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The scripture today is from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On the evening of June 17th, 2015, Dylan Roof, a 21-year-old boy, joined the congregation of Emmanuel AME Church. This church is located in Charleston, South Carolina, and the faithful were gathered that evening for a Bible study. In the middle of Bible study, Roof opened fire on those in attendance with a .45 caliber handgun. 9 people, 6 women and 3 men, died from gunshot wounds. 4 of the 9 victims were pastors. One of the women in attendance was 87 years old. In the aftermath of a mass shooting that occurred in a church during Bible study, I think it's fair to ask, just what is the Christian response to what can only be described as unimaginable evil? Our scripture reading for today is a good place to begin answering that question. But not, perhaps, in the way that we might think. See, I don't think our scripture reading for today is a list of do's and don'ts for how we are supposed to behave. Instead, I think it is a list of characteristics of God. And I think this list is calling the church to take on the characteristics of God. This list, then, is what our daily life should look like as we strive to take on God's characteristics. Jesus says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Turn the other cheek. Do unto others as you would have want done unto you." What Jesus is doing here is he's trying to teach us how to love people that are difficult to love. We are to love the people that get on our nerves. We are to love the ones who hate us for things that really are kind of outside of our control, for things like maybe our height or our personalities. We are to pray for those who hurt us. We are to offer the other cheek when someone slaps us on the first. What Jesus is doing here is he's actually calling us to a new world order, a world order that is based not on reciprocity or how other people have treated us in the past, but one that is based on love, where we are to love all people because all people are children of God. In the kind of middle of this discourse, Jesus says we can't actually form our ethics or how we are to treat other people based on how other people treat us. We can't do this, Jesus says, because even sinners do this. Sinners love those who love them. Sinners are even willing to lend money to other people because they know, one way or another, their loan will be repaid. What Jesus is saying here is there's actually nothing commendable or revolutionary about treating others the way that they treated you in the past. Jesus insists that ethical living for those who follow him has to look fundamentally different than ethical living that happens outside of the church. Friends, I think sometimes we think that people who aren't Christian have no ethics, and I don't think that's true. What Jesus is saying here is that all people have rules that kind of guide their behavior, but the rules or guidelines that we follow as Christians look different than ones that kind of regulate other interactions. Remember, this list of expectations or characteristics of God, this is why Jesus was killed. The Roman authorities don't kill him because he's weird or he's like annoying. They kill him because what he's asking his followers to do has the potential to change the world. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Forgive those who hurt you. This is kingdom living in all of its beautiful messiness. Our country saw glimpses of this kingdom living in the aftermath of the Charleston church shooting. Dylan Roof was captured and arrested the next day on June 18th, 2015, and he was charged with 9 counts of murder. The following day, Roof had a bond hearing. Bond hearing is where a judge determines whether or not he will be granted bond or he can leave jail, or if he's going to have to sit in jail while he awaits his trial. At the hearing, survivors of the attack and relatives of the victim were given an opportunity to address Roof directly. Nadine Collier was elected to speak on behalf of her family. Her mother, Ethel Lance, was one of Roof's victims. Ethel was the church's custodian. She came to Bible study at the end of her shift. She was 70 years old on the day of her attack. Nadine, her voice shaky but strong, looked directly at Roof and said, "I forgive you. You took something very precious from me. I will never talk to her again. I will never ever hold her again. But I forgive you and have mercy on your soul." See, capital punishment, or the death penalty, is legal in the state of South Carolina. If convicted, Roof could and probably would be sentenced to death by lethal injection due to the heinous nature of his crimes. But the family members looked at Roof and they saw a scared 21-year-old boy. So one by one, the family members of the Charleston 9 victims stood up and they publicly declared their forgiveness of Roof in an attempt to spare his life. 6 months later, on December 15th, 2016, Roof was found guilty on all charges. The district attorney wanted to seek the death penalty. However, on April 10th, 2017, Roof was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now, sparing his life isn't going to bring his victims back, but I hope that it brought the families some peace in the midst of unimaginable evil. Now, the point of this illustration is not to debate with you the ethics of capital punishment. We can do that later if you're interested. Instead, I hope it illustrates for you what kingdom living can look like. To illustrate how the church is called, like Jesus, to transgress cultural norms. How the church is called to pray for the man who stole something precious from them. How the church is called to forgive the hate that led to this calculated act of violence. How the church is called to face the man who slapped you and give him an opportunity to berate you while you speak to him. Friends, it feels appropriate to me that this text was assigned on the last Sunday in ordinary time. It's hard to believe it, but next Sunday is Transfiguration Sunday already, and Lent will officially begin that Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. I love that this passage was assigned for today because kingdom living, loving the unlovable, is how we prepare for Easter. It is how we invite those who would face otherwise destructive lives into the kingdom of God. We'll talk more about this next Sunday as we read the story of Jesus and his disciples and the Transfiguration. And we'll learn how God's glory is best understood in these everyday acts of faith. But for today, I think it's worth taking a minute to marvel at how the church is invited to participate in the inbreaking of the kingdom of God here on earth. This week, I think our text challenges all of us to think of who in our lives we need to love. Maybe it's someone in your life that doesn't know God yet. But I suspect that the person that you're thinking of is someone who knows God better than you do, but who still continues to behave badly. Someone who hates you for no good reason. Someone who says all manner of evil and untrue things against you. Someone whose special talent is to bring out the worst in you. In those moments when somebody is trying to bring out the worst in me, I find it helpful to repeat under my breath, "Child of God, child of God, child of God," till my blood pressure returns to normal. This practice helps me practice seeing the person in front of me as a child of God, not as a person who is behaving badly and/or annoying me. It also gives me a couple of seconds to regroup before I say or sometimes do something that I'm going to later regret. Friends, I deeply and desperately want the world to know God. And this has to start with me modeling who God is to the world. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. This time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, number 80, "You Shall Go Out with Joy." say a word of blessing as we leave from this place. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God has sent you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something that he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen. Amen. Amen.